Republicans propose deep federal spending cuts.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we're starting to get the details of plans to cut the federal budget. We'll ask what the cuts would mean for our deficit and for our economic recovery. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are lower right now. The Dow is down 81 points at 12,158. The Nasdaq down about 0.9%. And the S&P 500 down about 0.2% right now. The Labor Department said this morning that the number of people filing for first-time unemployment benefits fell last week to 383,000. That's the lowest level in almost 3 years. Now let's get to the budget cutting in Washington. A Republican plan that emerged yesterday would save about $35 billion by eliminating dozens of federal programs and cutting funding for others. The proposal is already drawing some criticism, and it's only the beginning of a fight that's going to go on for weeks. Let's bring in Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesro Financial. She apparently wanted to be there for the beginning of this fight in Washington this morning. That's where she joins us live. Hi, Diane.
Yeah, I don't really like to listen to the politics around here. But anyways, here I am in Washington.
All right. Well, so $35 billion in cuts, maybe even more. A lot of Republicans want it to be a bigger cut, certain to be felt by all Americans. But how much would these cuts, if enacted, do to bring down the deficit?
Well, not very much. Unfortunately, much of the focus right now is on the minutiae, on the short-term things that we deal with, anything from discretionary spending to, you know, cuts around the edges. The real elephant in the room is, of course, entitlement spending and our tax code. How can we make it better, and how can we really make the decisions about our spending more efficient? How do we get to the core of that? It's something that Ben Bernanke underscored. And right now, this is just sort of flirtations around the edges, focusing on, you know, the minutiae instead of the big picture.
So you're saying that that lawmakers should just spend now and make cuts that wouldn't go into effect for years on things like Social Security and Medicare?
Well, I think we could phase in some major changes to entitlement spending that would be much easier for Americans to digest if they were phased in over time. And frankly, the world is looking to us not to cut around the edges of our budget, but deal with the structural budget problems we have, and that is an aging population that we've made promises to that we can't afford to keep those promises given the current tax revenues that we're taking in. And we need to deal with those issues, which are much harder on politically than the sort of cutting around the edges that we're seeing today.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesro Financial, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, we are right in the middle of corporate earnings season, and to get a sense of what earnings we should be focused on, let's bring in Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Jeremy.
So we're getting earnings from everyone, from McDonald's to Northrop Grumman. What companies should we be paying attention to get a good idea of how the economy's doing?
I would pay attention to UPS, the brown trucks. It's a bellwether. Packages delivered everywhere. Fourth quarter earnings up 48%. I mean, this is a stunning number. And then if you look at the holiday season, and this is why I really love earnings reports, they delivered 440 million packages. And what this signaled is the online retailing world has truly taken off. It gives us an indication of what our economy is doing and where it's going.
All right. So shipping, that's an important one. What else are you looking at?
Well, we know that we shored up the banking system, right? Because of the big banks collapse, we'd have a lot of economic trouble. Well, Wells Fargo is doing much better. And if you look at their earnings report, here's the thing that I liked. Wells Fargo was doing, you know, pretty well across the board in its loans, but it's highlighting that it believes the real opportunity is in commercial loans. And that's what we really want to see, some business borrowing.
All right. So shipping, finance, two important sectors of the economy. You seem pretty optimistic about both. How about a third for good luck?
This is, I guess, the optimistic couple of minutes here. We're going to Emerson Electric. You know, the manufacturing sector is doing well. And I listened to the webcast after their earnings, and they're saying that the wind is to our back. But here's the other thing. They emphasized inflation. They are seeing big increases in material prices, and they're really worried about inflation going forward.
And that's something that a lot of companies are worried about, whether it be food companies or energy companies. Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Reputation.com, helping doctors, lawyers, and small business owners monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation Defender is now Reputation.com.
Well, the Super Bowl may be over, but there's a big football showdown brewing between NFL team owners and players. The league's collective bargaining agreement expires next month, and later today, the NFL Players Association will be warning about the economic effects of a lockout. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith has more.
The NFL brings a lot of money to a lot of different businesses. There's billions in ad revenue at stake for TV networks, hundreds of millions in ticket sales. Then there's the merchandising. Take Electronic Arts' wildly popular Madden NFL video games. EA's scored more than $3 billion on the Madden game franchise, and a lockout would shut that down.
Every year, they're putting out a new video game that has all of the updated players with their teams and their skill sets.
Robert Bauman is a sports economist at College of the Holy Cross. He says fantasy football would also get spiked, and that industry has become an online advertising mammoth.
Depending on whose numbers you believe and what you want to count as a fantasy football dollar, you could be getting up into the billions, certainly.
An estimated $5 billion. But Bauman says the little guy would take the biggest hit. He says restaurants, hotels, parking lots, and other small businesses that cater to football fans would bear the biggest economic loss of a football lockout. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, a message to the nation's school children. Be careful what you wish for. In Haywood County, North Carolina, students probably went to bed on a stormy Monday night wishing for a snow day on Tuesday. Well, they got it. And now, in order to avoid having to make up the missed day this summer, the Haywood County School District says class will be in session this Saturday. Seems kind of cruel to me, but I think I just made tiger moms everywhere jump for joy. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
There are two economies in Egypt, one for the regular folks, one for the dictatorship.
Being in control of key political portfolios does give you a tremendous advantage when it comes to setting up business deals.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the law of corruption, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.